Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a warehouse-style sampler rack for crunchy, jungle and old-school DNB vibes. The goal here is not just to make something dirty for the sake of it. We want a rack that can actually perform across a full arrangement. So by the end, you should have a sound that can move from intro to drop, from breakdown to switch up, without you having to redesign the whole patch every 8 bars. This is really about contrast, clean sub underneath. Dirty mid-range on top. Chopped break energy tucked in around the edges. That's the DNA of a lot of warehouse rollers and jungle-influenced drum and bass. Tight low-end, gritty sampler texture, and little moments of instability that make the tune feel alive. Let's start with the source material. Pick a sample with character, not perfection. A dusty break is ideal, or a short bass hit with some harmonic bite. You can also use a little vocal shard, a metal hit, or any rough texture that has some attitude. If the sample is too clean, the whole rack can end up sounding sterile, and that's the opposite of what we want. Load the sample into Sampler. For a one-shot, keep warp off unless you really need it. Use classic mode, and set the start point close enough to catch the transient if you want the attack. If you're using a break, you can leave loop on and trim it so it sits musically on the grid, but don't over-quantize the life out of it. Old-school jungle energy comes from a little push and pull, not robotic perfection. Now build the rack structure. You want three chains, a sub chain, a crunch chain, and a break chop chain. For the sub chain, keep it simple. Operator is perfect here. Use a sine wave, drop it down an octave or two, and keep the level controlled. If you need a touch of thickness, add saturator after it with just a small amount of drive. But the main rule is this. The sub stays mono, steady, and clean enough to hold the low end together. For the crunch chain, load your sample into Sampler. Keep it in classic mode, and use the filter inside Sampler if needed. This is your character layer, your warehouse grime, your old hardware-ish sampler vibe. It should live mostly in the mid-range, not down in the sub. If it's fighting your bass foundation, high-pass it with EQ8 around 80 to 120 Hz. For the break chop chain, use Sampler in slice mode, sliced by transients. This gives you individual break fragments you can trigger rhythmically. Keep this chain a bit quieter than the main layers. Think of it as groove glue and movement, not another full drum kit trying to take over the track. Now let's shape the crunch. On the crunch chain, build a simple but aggressive effect order. Start with auto filter, then saturator, then redux or erosion, and then a compressor or glue compressor to keep it tight. A good starting point is to keep the filter fairly closed for intro states, somewhere in the low hundreds of hertz, and then open it up into the upper mids for drop energy. The saturator gives you body and edge. Redux adds that degraded sampler bite. Erosion can add unstable texture, especially if you keep it subtle. Then the compressor just reins everything in so the sound hits with intention instead of flopping around. This is where the lesson really starts to feel like a sampler rack rather than just a chain of effects. Map your key parameters to macros. At minimum, I'd map crush, tone, width, sample start, breaks end, and sub-level. Crush can control saturator drive and redux amount together. Tone can move the filter cutoff. Width should affect only the higher layers, never the sub. Sample start is one of the secret weapons here, because tiny start position changes can make repeated notes feel like different takes from a machine, which is exactly the kind of instability that works so well in jungle and warehouse DNB. That start position movement is worth emphasizing. Even shifting the sample a few milliseconds can make a phrase feel more alive. That little bit of instability is part of the hardware illusion. It makes the sampler feel like it's being played, not painted in by mouse. Now bring in the break layer. Load a break into Sampler, slice it by transients, and keep the fragments controlled. Don't turn it into a mess. The job of the break is to give you urgency and blue, not to clutter the whole mix. Use EQ8 to cut the sub-heavy part of the break. Then add drum bus if you want a little extra density and punch. Keep the boom very cautious. A touch of drive can be great, but don't flatten the transient life out of it. A really effective move in this style is to use the break as a ghost groove. It can sit underneath the main bass phrase and only step forward at the ends of 4-bar or 8-bar phrases. That way, it becomes one of those subtle details that gives the listener the feeling that something is always brewing under the surface. Next, write the bass phrase. Keep it short, syncopated, and roomy. Think in phrases, not endless notes. A strong starting idea is a 2-bar motif with a low anchor note, a response on the offbeat, and a little variation in the second bar. Use note lengths that are fairly short for the crunchy layer, and let the sub breathe a little longer if needed. This style works best when you leave space. The kick and snare need room. The break fragments need room. The sampler texture becomes more powerful when it's not crowding every beat. In old-school inspired D&B, the silence between hits is part of the groove. If the part feels too static, vary velocity, note length, filter movement, and sample start. Don't just repeat the same MIDI endlessly. The listener should feel a phrase developing, even if the pattern is simple. Now let's make this arrangement ready. Use your macros to create different states of the rack. Think in terms of dry, clipped, filtered, smeared, and chopped. That state-based thinking is really useful because it turns the rack into a performance instrument instead of just a sound design preset. For the intro, keep the tone closed, the crush low, and the width narrow. That gives you a restrained, mysterious opening. Then, in the pre-drop, open the filter gradually and maybe shift the sample start just a little bit to create tension. On the drop, bring the crush up, bring the sub in fully, and let the break layer become more active. For the switch up, reduce the crush for a moment, close the filter slightly, and strip the arrangement down so the next return hits harder. A strong warehouse D&B arrangement often works like this: intro atmosphere, filtered break, bass hint, full drop, switch up, second drop, then a DJ-friendly outro. You don't need automation every bar. In fact, it's better if you save the biggest moves for phrase endings and transitions. That repetition with occasional disruption is what gives old-school D&B its momentum. At this point, resampling becomes your best friend. Route the rack to a new audio track and record a few bars of performance. This is how you get that real sampler feel inside Ableton. Once you've resampled it, chop the audio into phrases, reverse a few hits, and play stutters or edits at the ends of sections. Then layer that audio quietly back under the MIDI version. That extra pass gives you glue and character, like the sound has already lived through the machine once. Resampling also helps you make arrangement decisions faster. Instead of endlessly tweaking the same MIDI lane, you can work with audio and turn one good pass into several useful edits. Now let's talk about mix discipline, because this matters a lot in D&B. Keep the sub mono. Keep the gritty layers out of the low end. Use utility to check the bass in mono. If the crunch gets harsh, use EQA to tame the 2.5 to 5 kHz area. And leave headroom on the master. Don't chase loudness yet. You want punch, contrast, and clarity first. Also, don't make the break too loud. It should support the groove, not compete with the main drums. The dirty layer sounds dirtier when the sub is disciplined and the drums are relatively clean. That contrast is one of the strongest tools in the whole genre. Here are a few pro moves that work especially well if you want a darker or heavier result. Try a very subtle frequency shifter on the crunch chain for a slightly unstable warehouse character. Use it lightly. You want tension, not obvious wobble. You can also use parallel saturation on a return track, so the original attack stays intact while the dirt is blended in underneath. Another great move is a drop tension macro that closes the filter, increases crush, and slightly narrows width at the end of every 8 bars. That tiny squeeze can make the next hit feel massive. And if the rack ever starts sounding too clean, resample it through another pass with saturator, erosion, and EQ8, then tuck that layer under the main sound. A second pass through the machine often gives you exactly the grime you need. A useful practice approach is to think in three versions of the same rack: one clean warehouse version, one dirtier jungle version, and one breakdown version that's more filtered and spacious. That way, you can keep the same musical idea but shift its personality across the track. If you only have 15 minutes, here's a solid drill: pick one dusty break and one bass hit. Build the three-chain rack. Map just four macros, write a two-bar bass phrase with rests, automate the macros across 8 bars, then resample the result and cut it into a few pieces. If the rack feels like it changes character over time, you're doing it right. So to recap, split your sound into sub, crunch, and break layers. Keep the sub clean and mono. Use simpler, operator, auto filter, saturator, redux, drum bus, EQ8, and utility to build controlled sampler grit. Shape the whole thing with macro automation so it evolves across the arrangement. And resample your rack so the track gains that extra old-school texture and performance feel. The big idea here is simple. In D&B, the best sampler racks are tight, dirty, and musical. Not overworked, not over-randomized. Just enough instability to feel like a machine with a pulse. Alright, let's build that warehouse pressure.